Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
The title of my talk today is How to Straighten Out the Rest of the World. All right? And before I get into it, I'm sure that's something a lot of us have wanted to do for quite some time, but let me ask a few questions. How many of you have someone in your life that you would like to have either think or behave differently than they do? Okay, good, good. Then I'm in the right place. How many of you would like to have a superpower where you could blink your left eye and touch your nose and have any person around you who is annoying you stop annoying you and start acting the way they should be acting? Superpower there? Okay. One more. Very relevant. How many of you would like to have the ability to change the mind of every voter in America so they would all vote for the person that you want to be president on Tuesday? Nobody? Yeah, there's a couple. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. I know. I'm not picking sides. I'm just saying here, okay? In 10 days, we're going to be electing somebody who wants to tell us all what to do, whoever we do. So that's kind of a scary thought for Halloween, if you think about it. As we all know, interacting with other people is one of the greatest challenges any of us ever has to deal with. Even in teachings like this one, where we emphasize personal choice and personal responsibility, most of us go through a phase when we first get in here and start taking classes and getting familiar with what this teaching tells us, when we start asking how we can use these principles to make some other person in life behave the way we want to behave. How can I get my brother to stop drinking? How can I get my mother to stop annoying me? How can I do all this stuff? I've heard it all the time. Now, we may not use those exact words, but that's really what we want to know. And the truth is, if you or I ever came up with a foolproof method to make other people do what we want them to do and could talk about it from the platform, we would be holding our surfaces in the Phillips Arena, right? Something like that, if we could do that. I mean, considering what the population numbers in the world are doing or what they're doing right here in Atlanta, because we all know what the traffic is like, in the near future, there are going to be a lot more of us living closer and closer together, running around at higher and higher speeds, trying to get more and more done in our own unique way. However, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look and feel about it, we are all in this together. Like it or not, which can be a plus or a minus. But I will tell you this. We are never going to create a peaceful, successful, cohesive, and functional society by following the directions of just a few wise leaders who tell us all what to do. The best world that we can possibly end up with is only going to come about when we realize that everyone from every group and every place has something to contribute. So what we need to do is to learn how to use the wisdom and the intelligence that every one of us has, not only to find the answers that work best for us individually, but to encourage everyone else to find the answers that work best for them. And as we start to blend those answers, my answers for me, your answers for you, and we start to blend these answers, and we do it by being tolerant and open and respectful of other people, that's how we got to do it, then we all grow. That's the way that this creative power that we call God works in the world. That's the way all the great teachers who showed us what to do, didn't tell us what to do, like Jesus and the Buddha and Gandhi and Dr. King, all of them, that's what they were telling us. That's what they were showing us, and that's what I want to talk about today. You see, as human beings, we have very definite physical boundaries. That's obvious. We live in a physical world that we guard very closely, like our body or our house or our car or our neighborhood, that kind of thing. And physically, when we're talking about physical boundaries, it's very easy to tell where my physical space stops and where yours begins. But that also makes it easy to keep ourselves separated physically from people who think and act differently from us and from people who annoy us or disagree with us. Now, there was a comedian a number of years ago by the name of Fred Allen. Anybody remember him? I know Bob does, a few others. Interesting man. But he once made this statement. I love this. He said, "I like long walks, especially when they are taken by people who annoy me." Okay? So that's the way that we normally handle difficult people. If we can't straighten them out, we lock them out, don't we? That's what we do, okay? We almost never try listening. We just ignore them, or we try to keep away from them and tell everyone else around us, who usually are the people who agree with us, how wrong those people are. That's what's going on in the election, if you think about it. The prevailing wisdom seems to be, if I'm not around those kind of people, I don't have to agree with them. That's how a lot of people think. But when we go beyond the physical boundaries, because we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, when we go beyond the physical boundaries to the non-physical level, to the mental and the spiritual level, which is where we should all be cooperating, it's not all that easy to create boundaries. Because whenever we deal with other people, there is no clear-cut place where my mind ends and yours begins, where my thoughts end or yours begins. And that's very important. Because as we go to work, or we go shopping, or we go driving our car in traffic on I-285 or whatever it happens to be, our mental, emotional, and spiritual energy meets and merges with the energy of everyone else who's around. We can't see it, but that's what's happening. So the way we all end up interacting, the way we all end up responding to one another, ends up depending upon the beliefs and the thought patterns that all of us hold. I mean, it happens every Sunday here, whether you notice it or not. You guys are all in different seats. I'm up here. Everybody, the ushers are out front, whatever it happens to be. But our individual thoughts are actually flowing around the room. They're blending together to create the consciousness and the energy of this group on any given Sunday morning. And on some Sunday mornings, the energy is high. You can feel it when you walk in, right? You ever feel that? It's great. Other days, not so much. I mean, there are some days I feel like I'm talking to a painting, you know? So the energy just kind of shifts and changes because of all of us. Now, let's expand that. Let's think about it on a larger scale. No matter how hard we try, we cannot help communicating with others at the mental and spiritual level. Because at that level, we're all one with God. At that level, we are all part of the one. That's a given. But we all express that oneness, we all express that divine wisdom in our own individual way. And that's where the potential for conflict arises. In other words, even though there's only one mind, one consciousness at work, the way it takes form in our communities and in our world is determined not by just a few special people that everybody listens to and follows, but by all of us who are giving it direction, unconsciously or consciously, through our own individual thoughts, beliefs, and opinions. Now, you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been caught up in the excitement or the fear of a crowd. A few of you, how many went to the Adele concert last night? I didn't, but a few did. I saw it on Facebook, some friends of mine. Certain energy there. There'd be different energy at a Lady Gaga concert, that kind of thing. Anybody ever been to Mardi Gras where you're packed shoulder to shoulder? It's scary. I didn't like it. I didn't like the energy of the crowd. It was scary. Went to a Super Bowl, very, very similar. The Peachtree Road Race. If you're watching it or if you're running in it, the energy of the crowd, you can realize that your energy is subsumed. I like that word. Your energy is absorbed by the energy of everyone around. If you don't vote early and you go to the voting booths on November 8th, you will notice the energy of all the people who are there. I'm sure most of you know what I mean. The point I'm making here is that in any interaction between two or more people, there are always going to be differences that we need to recognize, to understand, and to deal with in an honest and intelligent way. That's where our spiritual awareness comes in. I mean, every person, as we all know, has their own motives and their own goals and their own personality that's usually different from ours. Sometimes it's very different. And they have their own moral and their own ethical standards and cultural standards. We all know that. And they may also have a dazzling collection of personal characteristics that annoy the living hell out of us. All right? They just may. But as someone else once said, I love this, he said, "People can only drive us crazy if we let them do the driving." Which was a good statement. So let's be honest. When we encounter someone who gets under our skin, insert picture of person here for all of you, okay, there's always a strong temptation for us to try and make them see the error of their ways or to protect them from their own ignorance, right? I mean, I'm only trying to help. You know, they ought to know that, okay? I mean, after all, the way the thinking goes is, if they only understood why I believe what I believe, they'd obviously agree with me. So they must not understand. So I need to straighten them out so they understand, so they know that I am right. That's kind of the common mentality. But if we would just stop for a minute and consider how hard it is, honestly consider how hard it is to change ourselves, then we could begin to understand how remote the possibility is that we're going to be able to change anyone else. So instead of judging or criticizing other people, instead of being self-righteous, there's enough of that going around, or going around feeling resentful without saying anything, maybe we ought to try something different. Different, okay? We might as well try to find an intelligent, emotionally balanced, and spiritually sensible approach to those people who seem to continually drive us crazy. Now, not only will this make our own life easier, if we do it right, and we all start to do it, we might even start a movement that would actually encourage an attitude of mutual respect and peaceful coexistence between people of different races, religions, genders, and nationalities. That's how powerful this is. Wouldn't that be nice if we could start a movement that would actually do that? Carl Jung, great psychologist, about 100 years ago, he once made this statement: everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to a better understanding of ourselves. However, as true as that is, and we all know it's true on some level, it's still a tough pill to swallow. It just is, you know. A lot of us have become very attached to the illusion that our life is filled with difficult, misguided, or incompetent people. There are a lot of people who come in for counseling and that's what they say. Of course, the funny thing is, the more strongly we believe that, the more difficult, misguided, or incompetent people we draw into our life. That's the way this works. When we believe that no one can meet our standards, we end up trying to do everything ourselves. Anybody else do that besides me? I certainly do. Which only aggravates the situation, and it aggravates us. And if we find ourselves in this kind of a vicious circle, we can only try to change it by understanding how we created it. Because the truth is, we did in fact create it. Now, this isn't psychology. It truly is spirituality. One of the most basic and ancient spiritual laws that is stated in different words in a bunch of different religions says that what we see in our experience is always a reflection of our deepest beliefs. All the teachers said this, but this is especially true about the way we get along or don't get along with other people. You see, we don't see other people the way they are. We see them the way we are. You've heard that statement before. So anytime we find ourselves frustrated about dealing with a difficult person, the frustration and irritation that we are experiencing is not in the other person, okay? It's in the way we're reacting to them. And you know how I can tell? Because when they leave, I'm still irritated. So where's the irritation? All right? I took it on. All right? Even when we get away from them, it's still there. We carry our resentment around with us. And so that means there must be some painful area in us that needs to be healed. But instead of focusing on our own healing, what we do most of the time is we get angry with them for touching some emotional sore spot that we've got, even if they didn't do it intentionally. Even if they didn't even know that it was there. They didn't even know it was sore. And until we allow ourselves to be healed, we're going to be upset every time somebody pokes us in that emotional sore spot. That's why it isn't so much about changing them as it is about healing ourselves. And Dr. Ernest Holmes, who wrote the book that we base this teaching on, he once made the statement that healing is a revelation. Very interesting. Healing is seeing the truth and healing what needs to be healed. So anytime we want to change someone else's behavior, you know where we're going. The first thing we need to do is look at our own behavior. But not just our physical behavior. We need to look at our mental and our spiritual behavior. For example, if we're involved in a relationship that seems to have a lot of conflict. Anybody here ever been in a relationship with a lot of conflict? Okay, most of us have that. It could be a spouse or a partner or a parent or a child or a friend or a neighbor, could be any sort of a relationship. We need to first make sure that there is harmony in every other part of our life. Not just in that one thing, in every other part of our life. So we need to ask questions. Do we have any open emotional sores that need to be healed, other parts of our life? Are we happy with who we are, with what's going on with the rest of our life? Are we comfortable with our life? Do we feel powerful in life or do we feel like a victim? Those are questions we need to ask. And that's important for us to know because if we don't honor and respect ourselves, we can't honor and respect any other person. So that may mean getting rid of some of the ideas that we have held on to for a long time, like jealousy or resentment or frustration, even if we feel that those feelings are justified. Even if we feel they're totally justified because somebody done us wrong, as they say in the South. Especially if we feel like they're justified, as a matter of fact, because if we don't remove those ideas from our mind, we're only going to attract more of the same into our life. So the attitudes and behaviors of our family and our coworkers, and even perfect strangers, are perfect reflections of who we think we are. So if I'm a loving person and I love who I am, people will respond to me with love. We all know people like that. Because our mind attracts more of what is already in it. So if we want our relationships, or one specific relationship, to be more balanced, we need to have an image in our mind of what a balanced relationship looks like. Not just this one. What does a balanced relationship look like? And that image can never be imposed from out there. It has to come from in here. It has to come from inside. Now, I can hear you thinking something. I'm not saying that there are no difficult people in the world, all right? There are lots of difficult people in the world, and sometimes they look like us, okay? A few of us, all right? And I'm not saying we should just smile and accept the behavior and go, isn't that special, like they do in the South, okay, with a person. Because there are some behaviors that are never acceptable. And all the experts in this kind of thing say that what we should not do is just be quiet and let them get finished until we're gone. Because there are some behaviors that we do need to speak out against. Things like discrimination and abuse and cruelty and rudeness and thoughtlessness, all of those things. Now, we don't need to speak out angrily and judgmentally, but we do need to speak out calmly and clearly. State our truth. All right? So we are always able to decide how significantly that person's behavior affects us and how it affects wherever we happen to be. Now, we need to see every person around us as a spiritual being doing their best at the level of consciousness they're at. We just need to do that, okay? We need to accept their spirituality, not for their sake, but for ours. Have you ever noticed this? Let me ask. That the angriest and most judgmental people around are the ones who usually have trouble getting along with other people. Right? Pretty easy statement, okay? But this, it's interesting. Uncooperative people attract uncooperative behavior even from people who are normally cooperative. It's true. On the other hand, people who are confident and comfortable with themselves seem to bring out the best behavior in others, even from people who are not normally cooperative. That shows you that the consciousness is more powerful than the behavior. It shows you that a consciousness of respect will always attract respect. People who have no respect for themselves are overly sensitive to criticism. They're constantly looking for criticism, and guess what? They find it everywhere. They find it everywhere. So they build a barrier between themselves and other people, and that just makes people seem more hostile and makes them more angry. So if we collect and nurture angry and negative thoughts about some specific person, everything they do will start to irritate us more. And here's the dance that we get into, all right? Because this is how a lot of friendships and marriages break up. As we focus on how annoying someone is, everything they do starts to annoy us. So we start to do things to annoy them back, all right? And the next thing you know, it's completely out of control. Completely out of control. But here's the key. Here's the key. And it comes from Khalil Gibran, the great Persian Christian poet. He said, "Our worst fault is our preoccupation with the faults of others." With the faults of others. And that preoccupation, this is why it's a key, is something we have control over. We may not have control over their behavior, but we have control over our preoccupation with their behavior. Okay? So the solution is always to think better about us and think better about them. So that means don't blame, don't criticize, don't resent, don't judge. I know some of you are going to have a lot of time in your hands if you don't do that, okay? Just focus your attention within, because that's where the healing begins. Now, we're talking about healing. We can begin the healing process by releasing every negative thought we have about the other person. And that may seem hard to do, but it really isn't. Let me give you an example. Two names, okay? Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, okay? Hey, 10 days, we won't hear it anymore. Relax. Right. Anyway, can you find something positive about the person you don't like? All right? Start to look for it. If you want to heal what's going on in your mind about what's going on with all the conflict around this election, find something positive in the other person. You don't have to like them. You don't have to vote for them. Just try to find something positive that you can accept. And that begins to change your focus. It begins to change your entire focus. Now, maybe not about them. That may be a little extreme example. But we will start seeing, if we do this with anyone, then you'll start seeing more positive aspects of their personality. And as we do, our attitude changes. As our attitude changes, their response to us changes, and everything turns around. Everything tends to turn around. You see, when we interact with other people, we develop certain expectations about them, and we interpret everything they do or say in the light of those expectations. That's where discrimination comes from. That's where sexism, homophobia, racism, ageism, all the isms and things like that come from. Because we expect certain things from people of a certain age, a certain race, a certain religion, a certain part of the country, a certain whatever it happens to be. And because we expect it, we see more and more of it, and that aggravates it. What we often fail to realize is we cannot focus our mind in two directions at once. So when we start to think loving, positive thoughts about the spirituality of another person, we can't hate them. We can't discriminate. We can't judge. We can't do that. We can't do those two at the same time. Because this power is present in every single person. If we talk about oneness, that's what we have to believe. So if we want any of our relationships to be open and loving, all of our relationships have to be open and loving. All of them, okay? Even though we all share what we call the one life, life is not one size fits all. Don't confuse the two. We forget that sometimes there's more to life than what we see and what we hear and what we think and what we believe. We get caught up in the mistaken idea that what's right for us is right for everyone. I mean, today in this room right now, I am actually giving probably 90 or 100 different talks. Every single person is hearing this talk in a totally different way, and probably only two of you are hearing it the way I intended it. Okay? Because I got my own idea about it too. That's not right or wrong. You hear it from where you are. You hear it from what you expect about spirituality, about me, about this place, whatever it happens to be. All right? Now, here's one final thing. We need to not try to change other people, even if our input might keep them from making a big mistake. We do that a lot with our children all the time, all right? We can share our wisdom with them, which is very different from telling them what they're doing wrong or what they need to do differently, but we shouldn't be frustrated if they don't accept it. Because I don't know about you, but I would automatically dismiss anything my parents wanted me to do. Just automatically did it when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. 35, 45, 50, anyway, kept on going. You know, just as this power of life comes through each of us in a unique and individual way, it has to come through everybody else in their unique way. Every other person, no matter what they may be showing us on the outside, has within them a divine self that is already whole, complete, and perfect. It's true about you, it's true about me, it's true about all of them. That's why, no matter how different we may appear to be from other people, no matter how far apart our opinions may be, we will be always be most effective when we communicate from our God center to theirs. From our God center to theirs. And the most effective way to do this is not to direct them or to criticize them or to correct them or to try and humiliate them. The most effective way that we can convey our wisdom to others is not by telling them what to do, but by revealing to them what we ourselves are. But before we can do that, we have to know what we are. We have to know what we are. You see, we can only teach love by being loving. All right? It's true. We can only teach wisdom by being wise. We can only teach prosperity or kindness or peace by being those things in our own life. Every person we deal with has something unique to offer the world, and so do we. So none of us needs to be straightened out as much as we need to be loved and respected and appreciated, and to love and respect and appreciate other people. And just in case I haven't mentioned it before, this is a place where you can learn to do just that. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Right. Thank you. All right. Let's take a moment. A lot of information. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's just know this. Not only is this world an incredibly beautiful place, it is filled with amazing people. It truly is. There are people in this world who are creating amazing things, who are bringing love to an amazing number of people, people who are prospering, people who are healing, people who are sharing and helping, people who are making a difference. There are people who are living examples of the best of the divine. There are people who embody kindness and peacefulness and honesty. These people are everywhere. But we have to create a space in our own mind for them to appear. We have to create an open space in our own mind where we don't judge others, where we allow others to be who they are, and we smile, and let that expression be just one more expression that is creating the world we see. Because this world is not just a physical form with physical activities and physical bodies interacting over thousands and thousands of years. This world is a process, a living, breathing, ongoing process. Not just the planet that we live in, not just the communities that we have created, or the science that we continually begin to know better and better, but every single person. We are, as humanity, one living being. Just like a body where cells come in new and leave when they're finished, every single person comes into humanity and alters it just a little bit through who they are. So as I am not every other person, I am an individualization of the one that every person is. So I allow myself to do what I can do, which is to be the best I can be. I allow myself to love freely and unconditionally. I allow myself to create and contribute my creations to the whole. I allow myself to prosper and to share the prosperity with others. I allow myself to heal not just my physical body, but my mental and spiritual body also. As I make myself the best that I can be, I change the portion of the world where I am for the better. So knowing this, I do not allow others to inflict their anger, hatred, or fear upon me. I do not accept it. I do not allow myself to be swayed by false ideas from others, but I do keep my mind open. I listen for the best, I expect the best, and that's what I receive. So knowing this, I give thanks. I give thanks for this awareness. I give thanks for all the people in my life, for all the lessons they have taught me. I give thanks for the opportunity to be here in this amazing world. I give thanks for everything I have been given and everything I have yet to give. I embrace life, I accept life, and I live life to the best of my ability. This is the truth for me, for you, for all of us everywhere. I accept it and I release it into consciousness, letting it be the truth for me now and always. Join me in saying, and so it is.